We may get around to playing the Max Talbot clip. That was bizarre. And I'm not even going to ask Mike Camilleri about that, because I'm sure he's smart enough to not say that about a guy like Ovechkin on a radio station. So I'm just going to leave that alone.
What do you say?
Oh, now you want to know?
Yeah, I want to know.
Well, I don't even know if I can say it, because we bleeped the clip earlier, but Talbot was on a radio station. What station was he on, though, again? It was 105.9 in WXDX. In what city, though? Down in Pittsburgh. Okay. He on the air, he called Ovechkin a douche.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting.
Yeah, I don't. I think probably better not to say that.
Maybe, yeah, maybe not in the media. That stuff happens a lot on the ice, but usually you keep it there.
So, Mike, again, thanks for joining us on the show here, and I just want to kind of look back to the season, look ahead to the season upcoming in the fall, and obviously you're doing some great work here with a camp that's coming up as well. We're going to get to that shortly, but what a run you guys had, and let me ask you about that, just sort of catching that lightning in a bottle. And unfortunately, you know, it didn't follow through right to a Stanley Cup run. But what was it like playing in that moment when you're just sort of taking the world by storm and catching seemingly everyone by surprise?
It was a lot of fun. I don't think that maybe for us it feels the same way as everybody else. It doesn't feel like you're in that maybe storm, as you put it, because if it did, it would probably be overwhelming. So it's maybe hard to believe, but when you're going through it, you just worry about each other and playing the next game and trying to kind of get better. And at first, in the first series, we were doing a little bit of hanging on, and then as you go, you start to build confidence and start to feel a little better about our game as a team.
Do you feel when you're playing that you're an underdog, or is it no? We're the team to beat at this point.
The underdog thing. It's played up a lot of the times in sport for maybe the media or for maybe the fan. I think that if you asked the players involved, they're aware that you may or may not be the underdog, but you don't really ever go into a game thinking you're going to lose. So in our own minds, you always think you have a chance, and you always think if you do your job well enough, you're going to win.
You know, it's interesting as well when you think back to that series, for as much as you may have done and other players on the team may have done, a lot of folks will sit here and say, man, it was Yaroslav Halak that had such an incredible ride as well. And then to be dealt in the offseason, I was surprised by it on the outside looking in. I don't know about as a teammate, Mike, but were you kind of blown away by the deal as well?
Well, you know, yeah, Yaroslav played great for us and did the job. If you looked at it from a standpoint of, wow, this guy played so well and now they traded him, then it definitely is a little bit confusing, but when you kind of dig into what's going on with the business side of things, and you needed money to secure some things on a team, and you got two goalies, and you got a guy like Carey Price, who we're all big fans of and think that he's an exceptional goaltender, so it kind of makes a little more sense after you break it down.
You know, and I guess that's maybe the lost element in all of this is the fact that Carey Price had a solid season as well, and it was simply, you know, a case of in the postseason, Halak, you know, had that strong game. You go back to him again, he has another good game, and he just sort of took the torch. But it's not to say that you had some stiff, you know, that's sitting on the bench waiting to replace him. And Carey Price is still a heck of a goalie. It was just kind of, I think caught a lot of people by surprise when Halak was moved so quickly after the season.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he played well and he deserves everything he's getting. So he helped us as much as he could have. And to touch on what you were speaking on, is it's true. You know, it's not like we, you know, Carey Price, we have a lot of confidence in, and we expect big things from him. And he handled the situation exceptional last season.
We're speaking with Mike Camilleri from the Montreal Canadiens. And Mike, you're going to be here in Toronto. I know you know from this area, from Richmond Hill, and spend most of your time in the off season here. But you know, also spending even more time this year, you know, giving back via one of your camps. Maybe you could give some details on this, the BioSteel Pro Hockey Week that's taking place the 16th to the 20th here in TO.
Yeah, we're just in this off season, some NHL guys, we like to get together, and later in the season when you're in a particular city and try and get in some shape and get ready for training camp. So Matt Nickel, who's actually my trainer, set up this BioSteel camp, and that's going to be in August there, and we're going to, you know, be training and skating and all those things. So we thought it'd be a good initiative to maybe invite up a contest winner out to spend a day with us training and skating and all that. So it'll be something we look forward to, and good on everybody at BioSteel for taking that initiative.
Is this something that sort of changed a lot? I don't know if it's going to be, you know, if it's fair to say the last 20 years, definitely the last 10, where, you know, not that guys in the past, Mike, were sort of sitting back drinking and smoking in the off season, but the off season conditioning and the staying in shape and just the preparation for the season ahead, it just seems like it's that much more intense, these days, and guys that are focusing that much more on the you know, the conditioning aspect and just the diet and watching what they eat and just, you know, physically preparing them that much more for the season ahead.
I think for sure it's changed a lot. There's a lot more awareness now as far as health and training and how it can help you and nutrition and things of that nature. You know, it's kind of went from beer to protein shakes and sport drinks. So that's the transition. I think it's different for everybody. Certain guys more than others find it helps them. For me personally, I think the training and the better I am with my diet and nutrition and the better I supplement myself properly, the better I feel throughout the year with my energy levels and the more gains I can make in the summer. So for me, it's a big deal. I really think it helps.
Hopefully, though, there's still a few cheat days allowed. I mean, we all have to have those cheat days, Mike.
Yeah, no, and there's no doubt. When I cheat, it's chocolate cake, right to the chocolate cake for me. I'm a big fan of it.
We're speaking with Mike Camilleri from the Montreal Canadiens. Mike, as a fan of the game as well, how much do you sit back and watch off-season moves, how other teams are improving, not just your own, and kind of what's shaking down within the NHL landscape?
I watch it quite a bit. Yeah, you know, I probably first thing I do when I go on the internet every day is go to the sports sites and check out the transactions and see what's going on and see how teams are shaping up and start going through your mind and, you know, how are we going to play against these guys? What are we going to do against these guys? So I am also a fan of the game, like you said, and I do watch it.
You know, and I ask that as well because it's kind of the number one issue right now in the National Hockey League, the Ilya Kovalchuk signing. And I mean, I was blown away. We had a guy on from Greg Wyshynski from Yahoo Sports the day that the signing went down. And I said to Greg, you know, react to the 7-year, $60 million deal. And Greg said, actually, I'm hearing it could be 17 years, 100 plus. I said, what are you talking about, 17 years? Sure enough, that ends up being the case. It brings up sort of an interesting dynamic, though, as far as the Players Association goes, because I don't know how much you know about the numbers and the economics. I know I certainly don't know a ton about it, Mike, but, you know, some have suggested that as much as the union needs to stand up for one of their own and Kovalchuk with the league trying to squash this deal, it also sets up a question in terms of the rest of the PA and how that it might affect the escrow for everyone else involved if this deal is upheld and if Kovalchuk is allowed to have this 17-year deal.
Yeah, there. You know, it's almost difficult to comment on. What I will say is that it's, you know, there's certain dynamics that take place in between the league and the PA, and you have these collective bargaining agreements, and it seems that management and ownership has found certain ways to maybe get around certain rules in the CBA. So these things need to be addressed, and I think overall, my belief is that these things can be and should be addressed in a way that is better for the on-ice product and at the end of the day helps everybody from fans to players and ownership. So this deal in particular, I'm not even certain how it shakes out that way, whether it should be or shouldn't be and all those things. But my concern is that we just have a healthy league, so everybody gets to watch a great product.
Mike, I suppose you could, you know, never say never. If somebody stepped up and were to offer you a 15-year deal for $100 million, you'd probably be crazy to say no. But personally speaking, would you be interested in signing that type of a long-term deal, or would you prefer to have flexibility within your career to be that free agent every 4 or 5 years to have that kind of opportunity to move on if you choose to?
Yeah, that's the age-old question. I went through free agency last year, and you have certain term is the word we use to describe, obviously, the length of contracts. So you have certain term offers here and there, and you try and decide what year you want to come up again, or would you want to be picking one place. But and also, when a guy gets offered that much money, it's probably hard to turn down that financial security. So I don't know what your deal is with the fan, but if I offered you a 15-year deal, would you take it?
Well, it depends. Is it $100
million? Exactly. So if it was, you would, right? There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. I mean, that's where you think about it. I know a lot of people, even in this business and probably in many walks of life, that would be willing to give up some money if it meant more job security. Now, I think it might be tough when we're talking about thousands of dollars versus millions of dollars. But at the same time, you know, if you've got a small window of opportunity within a professional sports career to make those millions, and that has to then last you the rest of your life and whatever, then yeah, I can understand where it becomes a decision that maybe I will take less years for more money as opposed to more years and less money. It's a tough call.
Yeah, you know, I know, in my opinion on it is, as a player, is you try and pick, if you can, a situation and really a number that you're comfortable at, that you can go try and perform at and live your life at comfortably and try your best to make a win-win for, you know, the organization, the player, the sports fan who's following that team. And that's what you try and do, and it doesn't always happen. But you got to understand, for a player too, you know, you want to be at a number that is financially secure and you're getting your market value, but is also something you're comfortable performing at, so you're going to wake up every day and people are going to appreciate what you do, and it's not always easy that way.
At the risk of sort of rehashing old news, when you spoke about yourself going through that free agent process, I mean, how much did you have to weigh what you were just talking about, the years versus the money, where you want to play? And I mean, for a guy growing up in Toronto, and we all heard the rumblings and speculation about whether the Leafs would be involved, and then you end up signing with one of the most hated rivalries for the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, that's got to be a tough process for you.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was definitely a learning one, and it hits you quick and fast, and within hours, it's a lot thrown at you. But I was fortunate that I had, first of all, great advice by Ian Pulver, my agent. He was fantastic, and I had a few markets that I really thought a lot of, kind of offering me similar contracts as far as term and compensation. So it kind of came down to where I wanted to be and where I thought we could play in the playoffs and have a chance at winning. So I couldn't be happier right now than where I'm sitting right now, which is in my condo in Montreal.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of people in Toronto, I'm sure your buddies can appreciate the fact that you're not playing for the Leafs, because as they continue to struggle, you know, I'm sure there are not a lot of people that are too upset about the fact that you're not in a Leaf uniform, Mike, because it's, you know, come on, we're going on 1967 here. I mean,
yeah,
geez.
But you know what? They made some good moves, and I think it'll make for some good Toronto-Montreal battles this year. So we look forward to that.
So you like to pick up for them then with Armstrong and with Versteeg?
I actually like both those players. I think they're both good players, and they should help them. I played with Colby in the World Championships, and nothing but good things to say about him. I'd rather him be on my team, but we'll have to battle against him now.
All right, Mike, listen, I appreciate the time. And again, folks, it's the BioSteel Pro Hockey Week to learn, skate, and play. It's a one-day clinic featuring a number of NHLers, including Mike Camilleri, going on August 16th to the 20th. So
we might even get Scott Gomez to get on a flight from Alaska. But didn't hear from me. He might even be there.
Oh, well, there's a last-minute info here. And actually, I want to mention as well that you were talking earlier about the opportunity to potentially take part in this as well. So, folks, if they go to thefourthperiod.com/teambiosteelsports. So, again, thefourthperiod/teambiosteelsports, excuse me. It's a 350-word essay on why you should skate with Mike and Team BioSteel Sports. So I'll mention that again a little bit later on in the show, but there you go, folks. That's your opportunity to win a 350-word essay on why you should get the opportunity to skate with Mike Camilleri. Mike, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.